There's a phrase included in the chant on goodwill. You know, goodwill for yourself. One of the things you say is, may I look after myself with ease. We have goodwill for others. May they look after themselves with ease. This is not a recommendation that you pamper yourself. It's not the kind of wisdom you find in pieces of chocolate that say, have another piece of chocolate, you deserve it. It's more in line with the principle of being unburdensome. You want to be able to provide for your happiness and not burden other people. This requires developing skills. This is one of the reasons why we meditate. Sitting here, putting up with pain sometime. Get you used to putting up with pain. Because pain will come. And if your way of dealing with pain was to ask for help from other people, without developing your own skills for how to deal with pain internally, you're placing a burden on them. All the skills of the path, generosity, virtue, meditation, are there for you to learn how to become more independent, looking after yourself, more capable of looking after yourself, even in difficulties. So you don't have to be a burden on others. And your happiness doesn't have to depend on conditions being just so. There's a passage in the canon where the Buddha is in discussion with the Jains. The Jains are saying that happiness has to be found through suffering. Otherwise, people like King Bimbisara would be happier than the Jains. The Buddha says that was a rash statement. Who do you think is happier? King Bimbisara or myself? First they said, well, the Buddha lives in a very frugal lifestyle. King Bimbisara has more wealth. Of course he's happier, has more pleasure. The Buddha says, can King Bimbisara sit for an entire week without moving and experience pleasure? Well, no. Though his ability to be able to do that, Buddha's ability, was based on skills he developed. So that's the first attitude you should have in thinking about looking after yourself with ease, is developing the skills you need. Try to be all around. Because dangers can come from any place, any direction. You've got dangers in your body. As John Fun said, the eye is a disease, the ear is a disease, the nose is the disease. The passage he's quoting usually is translated as there are diseases of the eye, diseases of the ear, of the nose. But he points out the fact that you've got an ear and an eye. The potential for disease is already there. Are you prepared? The potential for pain in the body is always there. Already there. Are you prepared? You can meditate. Of course, this principle applies outside as well. All kinds of skills you need. Look after yourself. And John Lee pointed out in his autobiography that as a young boy, he decided to learn not only the skills of men's work, but also the skills of women's work. How to sew, how to weave, how to cook. So if he ever had to depend on himself, he'd have the skills. He was planning at that point to get married. But you never know with marriage. Divorce can happen. The other person can die. We don't plan for disaster. But you have skills. You can be ready for disaster. You have to think about the potential for disaster. And how would you handle it? Master whatever skills you need. I've been reading about a bushman in Alaska who saved up a lot of money doing all kinds of odd jobs here and there, entering dog sled races, winning them. Finally had a nest egg. He was tired of trapping every year. He wanted to have a more solid lifestyle. We could have a trading store. So he was eventually able to build his trading post. And then in the course of a few hours, it burned to the ground. It devastated him. He went off for a while just to be alone. Left his children with someone else. His wife had abandoned him at that point. And they realized that the qualities he had developed in his mind, the skills he had developed in his mind, in his daily life, could see him through and could do it again. And so he did. So it's a combination of skills, but also attitudes. The Buddha talks about this, finding happiness in the present life. The first is being industrious, having the attitude that if you're going to get anywhere in life, you have to put forth an effort. We hear so much about being content. But the Buddha says, if there's right livelihood, try to provide yourself with the relative safety that comes from having wealth, that comes from having developed your ability to provide for yourself, provide for others, because otherwise you're going to be a burden. And John Suart liked to talk about this. The fact that contentment doesn't mean just being okay with whatever you have. If you're a lay person, you try to develop what wealth you can in the right way, because you need to prepare for the future. If you're a monk, you learn to develop the skills that can take what you have and make it more comfortable. Like that other woman, bush woman in Alaska, that John McPhee talks about, who told him that we're not here to rough it, we're here to smooth it. Given the circumstances, whatever makes things smoother or easier, you develop those skills. So being industrious, that's the first quality of looking after yourself with ease. The second quality is learning how to maintain what you've got, look after what you've got. One time I was washing something, it almost slipped from my grasp. Something that could have broken. I was able to catch it in time. And John Fung asked me, what would you have done if it had broken? I said, well, we'll get a new one. He gave me a real scolding for that. So if something can break, you hold on to it tight. Take care of what you've got. This is one of the reasons why in the forest tradition there's such an emphasis on being clean. Sweeping up around the monastery, keeping things clean and neat. So when things are in their place, they don't bang against each other. They don't get dropped. So the day may come when they have to be broken, but don't let it be because of your carelessness. Look after your things. That way you can get the most out of them without being a burden to anybody. The third quality is living in line with your means. Not being a spendthrift. But at the same time, not being too miserly. That principle is sometimes surprising to people. But the Buddha said, if you have some wealth, learn how to enjoy it. Because if you can't enjoy your wealth within reason, you get resentful of other people enjoying their wealth. It's hard to develop an attitude of empathetic joy. And finally, the fourth quality is having good friends, admirable friends, people who will advise you. There's more than just happiness in this lifetime. There's happiness in future lifetimes. And again, how are you going to look after yourself with ease when you're dying? It's through developing good qualities of mind, conviction, virtue, generosity, discernment. These are the inner qualities that make you more independent, more self-reliant. So that's what it means to look after yourself with ease. Learn the skills you need to prepare for dangers in this lifetime, the dangers that come at death. So even though you're suffering hardships, your mind doesn't have to suffer. You're able to use your ingenuity to make the best out of a bad situation. So you're not being self-indulgent. You're learning how to be unburdensome, more self-reliant. So think about the skills you need to develop to rely on yourself and not be a burden to others, knowing that the biggest burden you can have, or biggest burden you can place on other people, is as you're sick, and mentally you can't take it. All those years with the John Furum when he was sick, his mind never wavered. His mind is always very strong. So that was something I never had to worry about. I had to come home at one point, though, after John Furum had died. My father was sick. He was a much bigger man, much stronger physically. But this is his first time in his life he'd ever been seriously ill. His mind state was really bad, very apologetic for being a burden on others. But I had to tell him, look, this is natural. It's part of being a human being. The body is a burden. But the mind doesn't have to be a burden. In that case, I was able to talk to him, which made the whole experience a lot less burdensome for me. But you see cases where people are so sick, so much in pain, that they're delirious. You can't talk to them. Nothing gets through. And you can see how much they're suffering. And it's a big weight on the people around them. All that suffering, and they can't do anything about it. So one way of being unburdensome to others, of course, is training your mind. So it can deal with pain, so it can deal with the facts of aging, illness, and death. Not be knocked around by them. So looking after yourself with ease, it's not a matter of being self-indulgent. It's a matter of being unburdensome. Looking ahead, seeing potential dangers and preparing for them as much as you can. And realizing that your best source of strength, whatever happens in the world, is a trained mind. So that's what that phrase means. May I look after myself with ease. May I train my mind so that I'm not a burden on others. When you wish the same for others, you're wishing for their happiness too. May they find an independent source of goodness inside. Train their minds so that they're not burdensome either. And remember, there's a joy in not being a burden to others. That's why this phrase is part of goodwill. Goodwill for yourself, goodwill for other people. May you find joy in being unburdensome. And may they find joy in being unburdensome as well.